I felt something loose on my mouth. And I said, holy moly, the same reason why I brought these teeth in to get repaired is back again to haunt me. I need some teeth.
Welcome to Dental Implant Talk, Stories of Real Patients. In this unique episode, we are joined by Fred and Deborah. They are not only Nuvia patients, but real-life friends. As Deborah eagerly awaits her upcoming surgery day, we will learn how she came to seek dental implants and hear Fred's invaluable advice based on his own journey with Nuvia.
So I went on this journey and I said, I'm going to start taking care of my eyes. I'm going to start taking care of my teeth and blah, blah, blah. So I found this dentist. He was a seasoned dentist and he was very good. And he had convinced me to pull all my upper teeth out, even though some were good. I guess it was easier for him to implant or replace the teeth with dentures, right? Well, I didn't really fully understand it because everything was happening so fast. And once the teeth were out, I realized, hey, there's a plate, a clunky plate that's covering up my palate. I don't like that. I like to eat. I'm a connoisseur of eating. And it really messed with my taste buds. But nevertheless, I put up with it. I said, hey, you got it. You can do this. And when I got them done, I didn't have any problem with them. Later on, when I would go for checkups, because I went pretty regularly after that, the product seemed to change. They cracked. And I mean, they cracked every other week. It was a revolving door. I'd pick up one, keep it for a week, call the dentist up and say, you know those ones that I dropped off when I picked up this one? I need to come back and pick this one up and drop that off. The camel, you know, thing that hit the straw, as they say, was I was sitting in my office. I had just picked up these teeth and I felt something loose on my mouth. And I said, holy moly, the same reason why I brought these teeth in to get repaired is back again to haunt me. And I held the tooth in my hand. So I called the doctor, the dentist, and I said, hey, I need to pick up these other ones because as I'm talking to you, I'm holding the tooth in my hand. Thank God we were still wearing masks and I could cover myself because I too am in a business where I have to converse and I have to talk. I have to laugh. I have to do all those things. And wouldn't be pretty if I had no teeth. So he said, yeah, come in. He said, but this time I'm going to have to charge you. So, you know, I think it was a couple of bucks. No, it was much more. And he said the big magical word, if I could repair it. And so that kind of let me know that he was not going to repair it. He was going to have to replace them every time. And that was a ridiculous amount. And I said, this doesn't make any sense. Your work. And he, you know, said, well, you just have to pull all your teeth and you have to get implants and you know, and it's your overbite. It's this and that. And I said, wow, I have the same overbite I had when I first came in. I didn't have any problems. So wrong. That doesn't make sense to me. You're biting your food in the front. No, I'm not. I'm biting it the way I always did. So I just said, you know, let me just cut to the chase. Let me get my tooth, put it in, slap some crazy glue on, because when I got the tooth, it was just kind of held together like a silly putty. You could very clearly see the crack. It would have cracked the next day. So, you know, I glued it together the best way that I knew how to glue it, because I still have to work. And then I said, what am I going to do now? I don't have the dentist. I need some teeth. And I said, well, you know what? I'm worth it. I need to get something that's permanent so I don't have to go through this mess. I need something where my palate is exposed so I can actually taste my food. And I need something where I'm not putting the gobbledygook in the tooth to hold the teeth together, which I hate. And you have to scrape it off after you get the teeth out at the end of the day. A whole process. Not to mention, you know, buying the tubes every so often to have that goop. You know, I had one in my office, one in my purse, one at home, you know, several at home. Just the backups for the backups. So then something happened and I was talking to Fred and really I thought Fred's teeth were his natural teeth. And he said, and I said, I mentioned to Cindy, I think I said, that, oh, I've been looking at this place called Nuvia. And I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence. Nuvia? Oh, well, that's where Fred. Well, those are his teeth, aren't they? No, those are his teeth now. And so then I started talking to Fred, and I really trust Fred's judgment and Cindy's judgment. And don't take it the wrong way, Fred. Fred is rather anal. And so I know that he did his homework. So he actually saved me, because I'm basically lazy. And I said, well, Fred said these are good. By golly, they must be good. And I didn't even know he had implants. You know, I thought they were his natural teeth. And I said, well, these look so great. Wow. Well, maybe, yeah, I can do this. So I set up the appointment, came in, and you're right. I was greeted from the time that I walked in by smiling faces behind the desk. Everybody had a smile. Even if they were busy, they took the time out to stop and say, hey, how are you? Welcome. Have a seat. Blah, blah, blah. They were just so personable. I mean, they had the skills to really put a person at ease that is nervous. Because I was nervous, you know. And I said, well, what's this going to be about? And in the back of my mind, what's this going to cost? I'm not a rich person. I'll be working till I drop dead. I had to retire. Okay. So then I go into the office. And by the time that I went into the office, I felt like I was at somebody's home, because Jeremy was my rep. And that poor man, I forgot I had put a lockdown on my credit report and I didn't lift it. So when we got to the point where we were talking, he said, yes, your bone structures are good. You know, the bottom ones are a little weak. You really should get the full. I said, okay, well, let's do it, you know. And I'm like, that kind of money. Okay, well, we're going to run something and see if you're qualified for a loan. Well, they got stopped because I had the lock on my credit report. So that took some time to get on the phone and really get someone to reach out and talk to me. And Jeremy kept going in and out, in and out. Well, by then, it's close to closing time, or probably closing time. Jeremy is still there. He's like, oh, did you finally get her? Yeah, you know. But by then, I think it's 5 or so. You know, I don't know what time it is, but it's after hours. So he's there. I think it was Natalie maybe was there, and one other lady. And they're still just as pleasant, even though I'm stopping them from ending their day to go home. They're still just as pleasant as they were as when I first walked in. So, you know, we get all that straightened out. I go home and I call Fred up, and then I got his testimonial, and I said, okay, I'm on the fence, but I'm going to go by blind sight. I'm going to do this because it feels right. And so that's where I started. I went on, you know, and then I'm still nervous because it's you know, I called them up and they said the same thing. When do you want to do this? And Fred and Cindy said, well, of course, we're going with you. Oh, really? Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll be there with you. So I chose some days that worked with all of our schedule. And by golly, it happened to be tomorrow, 6:30. I'll be there and go the first leg. And yes, I know people say, well, you don't need face masks and you don't do that. You know, and I said, well, I'm looking at the worst scenario. I said, well, if it's me and they say you're not going to bruise and you're not going to have this, yeah, I'll be the one be the bruise. So I went online. I ordered me a Jason mask, ice pack mask. And I said, okay, I got that. And I know they'll give me the one that looks like you have mumps, you know. And I said, okay. So I took off some time from work. And if nothing more, I get to rest from my job because I don't know how to get off the ship. And so this will be a resting time for me as well, which I'm looking forward to. So I'm kind of, I'm very excited. It hasn't really hit me, I don't think, until I walk in there and say, oh, it's about to be on. Okay. Right now, I'm anxious to get on with it, to get to the next phase. One thing that occurred to me, I said, I know I come in at 6:30, but I have no clue how long this lasts, the surgery.
You just basically, they're going to put you under an anesthesia, and they have an anesthesiologist, very good one.
Yes.
I made sure that the same people that took care of me, I wanted the same, you know, the same people involved with you. And they went overboard and helped me accomplish that. The anesthesiologist is awesome. They monitor everything. You don't know nothing. You just go to sleep. It felt like it took 10 minutes. I mean, everything, of course, you know, is relative to what they see once they pull your teeth. I mean, I can tell by the way they look that, you know, you're probably going to be in the same kind of seat that I was in. And you won't.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll just wake up and you just took a nap. But you know what's pretty cool, though? I felt like I slept like 8 hours. I was energized, but I knew I just had to go home. My wife drove, and I just went home and watched TV. I had just the light snack and went to bed, got up the next day, came down, got my teeth in, and it was so. I'm not going to go into that much detail because when you experience it, I'm telling you, Deborah, it changed your life.
No doubt.
If you're a listener and wondering how these patients began their journey with Nuvia, it all started with our free 60-second quiz. So to find out if you may be eligible for permanent teeth in 24 hours, take our 60-second quiz in the description below.
Well, this year, I said it's all about me this year. I am going to do the things that I have put off because I've done so many things for other people. It's my time now, you know, and this, yeah, you're right. This was an investment financially and, you know, mentally and spiritually, but I think I'm worth it. So
you are worth it.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I'm very glad that I was a part of your decision making because I love this company. I like the way they back up, you know, they put their money where their mouth is and they back up everything they say.
Yes.
And it's made like a tank. You know, it's been almost a year now since I got these. And when I get compliments, I mean, I get people at work saying, boy, I haven't told anybody that these aren't my real teeth. They say, boy, you have such a nice smile. And, you know, and it makes me feel good when I smile. I'm in a restaurant and I smile, you know, because I'm a basically happy person. I mean, how can you not be happy with Cindy, you know? Anyway, but what are you thinking? What is your main thought process after you get these in? What is your main motivation? I know you wanted to do this not just for health reasons, but personal reasons. What is your main objective for like the future?
I think probably for me, one of the main things is a health thing. You know, I think I'll feel better. Put these plastic teeth in my mouth with the chip of the tooth right there. Get rid of that and no gobbledygook. What else? Having a smile that I'm not worried that they're going to fall out of my mouth. Just having more confidence.
That was a big thing with me too. Yeah.
I mean, I like to think I have confidence, but I always knew that there was a potential of this tooth cracking or the teeth falling out because I didn't have enough gunk in it. Or if I ate something, I literally had to put a paper towel in the back and rub the excess gunk that oozed out of the tooth.
You are so funny.
Not having to do that is just like priceless. It's like, I don't have to go to CVS now and go buy this gunk.
Yeah. When I had my chipped tooth in the front, I was still self-conscious of it. See that chip there?
Yes.
I mean, and I was so
there. Yep.
And I almost hit it somewhere else sometimes.
I was going to say that I smiled like a partial smile because I didn't want you to see all of this missing down here. And definitely now, I don't want you to see that. So I just leave this kind of half covered.
Yeah, you're good on it.
So I'm looking toward being me.
How about eating a nice steak and enjoying things that you haven't been able to eat?
Yeah, and I like salad. I love salad. Broccoli. I can't eat that unless it's really lifeless. You know, even with the teeth. Or if I'm just, when I get home, I'm really tired of, I don't know how to describe it. These teeth feel so heavy in my mouth that, okay, you know how people get in and they kind of strip? I strip the teeth. I get rid of the teeth. And then I realize, oh, I'd like to eat a salad. Okay, I got to put the teeth back in or either I have to gum it. And it's not the same. That's going to be like, oh, I don't have to put anything in. I can just sit down to the dinner table and eat. What a Kodak moment.
Well, I'm going to write a song about, I just said goodbye to Polly Grip. You know.
There you go.
Work on it. What are you going to say to your future self? I mean, seriously, Deborah, I've gotten to know you pretty well. And you care about what people think of you. That's obvious. Tell me what your thoughts are. And let's say even a week from now, what are you going to say to yourself?
Wow. That's heavy. The first thing came to my mind, because, you know, I always have jokes, I think, to cover up what really comes in my mind, is when you said that, I thought of smile, you're on candy camera. But let me see, what am I going to really say? I guess the fact that I can smile. I can smile, a full smile. I can take a picture and have a smile.
And know that these teeth, you're not taking these out. These are your teeth.
Right.
Now when I smile, these are my real teeth. These are
those real teeth. Yes.
Yeah.
How about that? When I saw my mother, I asked her, I told her, I said, hey, Ma, because I usually, Mom's 98. She's in a group home. Okay. And I usually come visit her Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So I said, well, Ma, I don't know how I'm feeling. I may not be able to visit you on Saturday. Well, why? Because I'm going to have surgery. What kind of surgery? Teeth surgery. Well, why are you going to do that? Because I need some teeth. I need to eat. Oh, then you should get them. So it's going to be nice to come see her and show her. Look, Ma, this is me now.
You know what else, without sounding gross? Bad breath.
Yes.
You don't wake up with that bad breath anymore. You don't have that halitosis.
Dragon breath.
You don't have it at all. I mean, from day one, I noticed that right away. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I want to do is brush my teeth. Well, now, I don't have any dragon breath. I can kiss my wife and know, you know, I'm not going to knock her off the bar stool.
Right.
Well,
right.
But that's, you know what? I never thought about that before I got these done. But now that they're done and it's been almost a year now, no dragon breath, no bad breath, nothing.
And on the same tip, now, you know, I'm single again. My Roosevelt's gone on to glory. But if I was on the dating scene, I worry about, oh, I got false teeth. Wait, I'll be back. I'll go into the bathroom.
I got to put them in the glass.
Yeah, no, I got to put some more gunk on so they stay in my mouth, number one. These are because they loosen up as you eat. So I have to politely excuse myself and say I'm going to the restroom, but I'm really excusing myself to put the gunk on. Or if I'm driving down the road and I'm drinking something and the teeth are loose, I'm sure the people in the next car are looking at me like I'm crazy, because I figure, hey, I never have to see these people anymore. I pull them out, I get the gunk, I apply it, and I stick them in my mouth. And I can look out the corner of my eye at the passengers or the other cars passing by, and if they witness that, they have a little on their face. And I just look like, oh, you know, I don't know what's wrong with you. And I just zoom off because I figure I'll never see you again. So it doesn't matter. I don't have to do that mess anymore.
You know, it's not funny, but it is funny. Now that I've got my permanent teeth and everything.
Right.
I've feared the possibility of not doing this as having to wear dentures because I knew my teeth weren't going to last. That was a huge fear of the poly grip era. And I
hate it.
Well, guess what? You're a perfect reason why this is such a better, you know, idea.
Yeah.
As, you know, the end result, of course, you just hit it right on the head. It's a matter of embarrassment and, you know, the fear. I mean, you want to, you know, impress the guy that you really like, and all of a sudden now you got to excuse yourself to put more gunk in your teeth.
Pardon me. I've got to apply my gunk. I'll be right back.
Well, Deborah, I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Selfishly speaking, I know what I experienced. And I just want to see her face. I want to see that smile turn into a cry when she sees that smile on her face. That's my main reason. I just want to see the result. And when, you know, after tomorrow, when she goes in to get her teeth in, I just want to see that smile and know that, hey, I had a hand in this, you know.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, part one, and then we'll get together again so you can see, you know, part two of this and Deborah's journey. Anything else to say, Deborah?
No, I'm just, you know, saying my Hail Marys. I know I'm in good hands. And hey, I'm being guided every step of the way. Y'all are my angels.
To hear more life-changing stories, be sure to subscribe to Dental Implant Talk, Stories of Real Patients, on your preferred podcasting platform. And to connect directly with these patients and other Nuvia patients, click join on Nuvia Smile Maker Club on Facebook, also in the description below.